Welcome back to episode 206 of the Block on Our Podcast.
Here's where we discuss the latest development in cryptocurrency while we make this new technology relatable to you. You can watch this podcast on YouTube to follow along with our discussion.
Another way to stay up to date is by signing up to our newsletter at theblockrunner.com.
As always, we have your host, William, talking to your co-host, Iman, and special guest, Eve, founder of NatCats. And here are some of the topics they discussed today. First up, who's Eve, and how did they get into the Web3 space? Next, what are NatCats, and what makes them different? And finally, breakdown with Eve on his experience since launch and his motivations behind the creation itself, as well as future plans. All right, let's listen in.
Welcome back to another episode of the Block Runner Podcast. I'm your host, William, always here with your co-host, Iman.
What's going on, dude?
On the six, we got TJ.
Hello.
And finally, joining us today for the first time, we got EV, founder of NatCats. Thank you for joining us, man.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah, man.
Thank you for having me. I'm a big fan of the show, as you know. Glad to be here.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, it's cool to finally meet you. You know, like we will like joke about it all the time. It's like it definitely feels like you're delivered to us by whatever universal force is out there.
You've been hanging out at the table here with us, like that too. Knowing exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Whenever like people, because you know they share almost identical. Well, you know how they talk about wavelengths are out there, and certain people have certain receptors, I guess, in order to plug into them whatever broadcasting force is out there.
Yeah,
whether aliens or not, I don't know. But you're definitely along the same wavelength as us in that spectrum, right? Because a lot of your ideas and thoughts, I mean, I get it. You know, you watch our channel sometimes, so maybe we have a little bit of influence on your thoughts. But I don't know, maybe not. Yeah. But I kind of wanted to get at some point, but first, of course, we're going to start with like the origins of what it is you've created. But I really want us to get down like into the rabbit hole as far as like where you see DMT's real impact emerging outside of just like the art space, if you have any thoughts at all around that. I think you do, because you put out some Discord messages in the past that were very profound, and it resonated with us deeply, right? I was like, holy shit, this guy, he really gets it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wait, we'll get down there.
Well, I'm happy to get into that future state of DMT for sure.
Okay, cool. Perfect.
All right, so let's start with this, Evie. Give us your background, how you got into crypto in the first place, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So my background spans both technology and fine art. So both sides of my background come into play with NatCats. I've been an active participant in the crypto space class of 2017. But this is my first time building in crypto specifically. I've built, tech in other spaces in the past, but this is my first time in crypto. So it was really discovering DMT and the conviction that I had there that led me to get involved.
Okay. So we've been talking about DMT since, I don't know, maybe like September, October, and it was just like an idea. And not until November we launched the DMT framework, and then just recently you launched NatCats. I want to understand specifically, like, how did you know that the way that you were designing NatCats was pretty much like the same sort of like framework that we were going with when it came to unique non-arbitrary tokens, the UNAT thing. So how did you? Like, how did you know, like, to do it the way that you did it?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, ultimately, my goal was to contribute to the DMT ecosystem, right? So one of my requirements when developing the framework I used for NatCats was that it would be kind of, you know, closely enough in line with the NAT framework that I could see it either being adopted by the community or being, similar enough to kind of future non-fungible protocol updates that it could kind of be brought in to the protocol as well. Mm-hmm. So that was a goal of mine, right? Like I wanted to develop a PFP that the digital matter community would wear proudly.
Yeah.
So it kind of needed to be that way. Mm. So I did not know that, you know, we would have the kind of strong alignment and approaches that we did. You know, I kind of started working on the NACATS framework. It might have even been before Field 11 indexing by track was complete. And so, yeah, I did not know. And then you guys were kind of dropping these hints along the way that you were developing a non-fungible protocol on your end. Obviously, the tokens, the NAT tokens, were already hybrid tokens. So I did not know, but I really made it my goal to develop something that seemed like a rational next step for the protocol, with that reason in mind.
Yeah, that was so like perfect. So I guess from your perspective, you were like, hey, this is, you know, I'm doing this NatCat thing, and hopefully this style would get adopted by the framework. And it just so happened that the style that you decided to kind of build off of your art was the same sort of way that we were going to implement it in the framework anyways. And so like, it was just really cool to see, because we thought that we would have to create the first PFP project only just as a showcase, in the same way that we did NAT as a showcase. And luckily we didn't have to do that, and it was just the perfect outcome from our perspective, because we don't want to do everything.
Yeah, that's literally what we said whenever we first, you know, saw the NatCat viewer. I remember saying this like in the office. It's like,
yeah,
dude, it's like the universe did it again.
Yeah,
it's been a handful of moments like in our history where it feels like we're definitely on some sort of predetermined path, almost like our dedication to this metaverse proliferation and stuff like that. I mean, it's a motherfucker of a task to like burden yourself with, to try and like, you know, address some of these very, very, very fundamental core ecosystem dilemmas and such that a lot of other people just don't see.
Yeah.
And like we've identified them for years now. It's like, why do we keep working at this?
Yeah.
Whatever. Right. So it feels like there's some force behind our backs really pushing us in this direction. And luckily, we're still able to contribute towards like resolving some of these problems. And because of that, like different little things had to happen along the way where like felt like the universe is really on our side, right? And you are one of those evidence points where it's like, dude, we're actually headed somewhere, to some sort of like greater goal dimension, right? And but yeah, so I remember saying whenever we put in the first block height for the NatCat, and I saw, I was like, dude, this is fucking hit. This is perfect. You know what I mean? It's just, it was
So that's awesome. And I mean, the reality is there are only so many smart ways to solve that problem, right? Yeah. And I also believe that ideas have a time, and there's a lot of things that have been brewing in Bitcoin and, you know, over the past years. So it's not necessarily surprising that if you have a few people sit down independently, they might come to the same conclusion for that reason.
Did you know that we're more than just a YouTube channel? We also built Mscribe, the first inscription platform built from the ground up for the metaverse on Bitcoin. Connect your bitmap ordinals and use our tools to bring your community into the virtual realm. Support us by joining the movement at mscribe.io. Like, comment, and subscribe for the latest alpha. Back to the video. So you launched NatCats, and the way that you launched it was just in Discord. You're like, hey, I have this like a website, and I launched the NatCats token. You can mint it, and you can see what exactly you're minting just by going to this website, typing in the block, and everything was off-chain. And so it took us a few days, at least from your message in Discord, for us to actually take a look at it, just because we were so just like in the middle of it with everything like NATs and all that stuff. So it took us a few days. And then after the first day that we saw it, I made a comment. I was like, hey, this is really cool. And then the next day we did a video, and then a few hours later it blocked out.
Yeah.
And so pretty soon after that, I messaged you, because we haven't really talked up until like a Twitter space recently. And I was like, hey, you know, send us your script so that we can take a look at it for NatCats. And then we can put it on chain, right? Because we have a method, right? At the time, you didn't know that this was possible, but we knew it was possible. And, you know, we had to clue you in so that you could be the first one completely on chain and all that stuff. And so that was like the timeline. Is that exactly how you remember it?
Yeah, more or less. And and it was important to be on chain, and also be on chain in a way that was compatible with the MT.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Super important.
Yeah. It's important to remember that the way that we designed DMT with this JSON structure, it is, we can extend it, right? If there's like new applications that we can find with DMT, we basically can add a line into the JSON and then enable that functionality. Mm. Such as like pretty soon, we're going to be enabling creators to decide a price per mint, whitelist, all that stuff. And and the creators can set those parameters and launch the token. And then there's going to be a new line added to the mint inscription that sort of like cryptographically proves that all this is true, yeah. Right? And yeah. And then only the minter is the only one that can receive it. So this ability to extend the protocol is like extremely valuable because that's how we're able to put art on chain. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it was like almost as if we've purposely designed it that way. And we put so much time into thinking like about this framework that it's just amazing to see someone like you come in and kind of like build on top of it. So just want to commend you for doing all that.
And I kind of do want to get in like to the roots of your conviction if possible, because you've been around you've been around basically as long as we have. 2017, we're also 2017, like from what do you call that, the class of 2017?
Yeah
We're also,
so that's two cycles ago now,
right? So obviously you've seen a lot proliferate and emerge in this crypto space. Like what about this? Is this, out of all the things that you could have like contributed towards, why did DMT like stick out among the pack as far as like some sort of a new innovation within the crypto space? Like, what is it that really sucked you in?
Yeah, great question. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there are a number of reasons, but you know, the conviction I had when I first found out about the DMT framework, it was the same kind of conviction that I initially had when I discovered Bitcoin, to be honest. Mm. And that was the first time I had had that kind of conviction since discovering Bitcoin. And when that happens, you know, you don't really ignore that. So I certainly, you know, went in deep right off the bat. And, you know, at the time, you know, there were a few revelations I had early on. And then there's a perspective I have, you know, more looking back over the past few months. So, you know, early on, a few things that clicked for me. The first was just that building in DMT felt very similar to building with materials in the real world. Mm-hmm. And in my career in the past, I actually focused in R&D in digital fabrication technologies for a period in time. So actually programming machines to produce, you know, objects, carve them, or different materials. And I was just blown away that the thought process of DMT felt very similar to doing that. And that felt profound right off the bat. That's not something I'd seen in a digital space before. So that was the first revelation. The second revelation was really when I was working on NatCats and I realized that, and this gave me some pause at the time, but I realized that by putting NatCats out into the world, it would be bigger than me and out of my control. And that was when I first started the logic for the unreleased traits. So really just, you know, discovering that I could program a trait that would not be available in the current NatCat supply, and it could become available in the future, but it could outlive me and become available after I'm gone from the earth, right? Or it could never become available at all. And that was really profound. Like it hadn't even clicked with me that I could build something like that as a creator in the past. So those were the first two things that hooked me. But you know, looking back, what I really see now is just that DMT, in my opinion, is it's the only way that I'm aware that we can really build a true metaverse. And it comes down to the definition of the metaverse. Like, you guys were talking about this on the show a couple of weeks ago. Like how do we define a metaverse? And I think if you asked most people just walking around on the street what the metaverse even is, like, it's not really clear. And many people, you know, I don't even know if they're excited about it for that reason, right?
Yeah.
But from my perspective, you know, there's a few important requirements for the metaverse. Like, that's the question. Like, what is required of a metaverse for it to be a true metaverse? And for me, I think it needs to look and behave a lot like the real world, right? There's not one central entity that controls the real world. And the real world has all of these dynamics, like nature and physics, like the weather and the, you know, the solar system and all the stuff out there we don't even know about that exist, you know, whether or not we're even here. Like, not only are they out of our control, but they exist whether or not we're even here. And so for me, like that, like a real metaverse needs that, right? It needs to be decentralized. It needs to have these immutable concepts that function as physics. And you can only do that, I think, through digital matter. And so if those are your requirements, then, you know, I don't know that, you know, even like VR for me, like 3D interaction, like that will probably be a key interface for the metaverse, but I wouldn't call that a hard requirement, right? Like, even someone minting a UNAT now, like the first person who minted giant alien fish, like the one of the first unreleased special traits to come into existence.
Yeah.
If that is already more of a metaverse activity, then I would consider, you know, maybe what you know, some of these centralized big tech companies are building. Mm-hmm. I would consider the former to be more of a true metaverse activity. So yeah, that's my perspective now. I mean, it's I'm curious to hear like if that lands with you guys as well, and
yeah,
it's, you know, what your requirements are. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we talk about this all the time, right? Because it's important, I guess, to understand like what is it going to be like for one, like, okay, the metaverse as like a thesis, you know, the, I guess the evolution of the internet as a whole has become a 3D spatial experience to what it is we already do on a daily basis, right? We communicate, we transact, we do everything through the web now, right? Information is propagated through it, but what is adding a three-dimensional layer to that like actually achieve? Like, how does that going to achieve embetterment for humanity as a species as a whole? Like, is it this thing that we could put a finger on as far as technological progression the way we can on AI?
Yeah.
It's pretty clear and obvious what AI is going to do for our the, you know, the progression of humanity, right? It's going to benefit us tremendously, right? Therefore, it is an attractive proposition to most sectors of people on Earth, right? I want to contribute, or I want this part of my life. The metaverse is a little more obscure.
Yeah, abstract a little bit.
Yeah, it's not so clearly obvious. Maybe unless like you've grown up playing video games, you've experienced that on a personal level, like, you know, the digital realm becoming like an actual enhanceable facet to your own existence, depending on whatever factor may be.
Right? Yeah. And also the macro conditions are sort of forcing our direction into the metaverse anyways, right? There's going to be, everything's going to be automated away. As a matter of fact, Tesla just made an update to their self-driving cars, and the self-driving car pretty much mimics human like driving. Like it is so good that the car just taking over itself, like it's just way better than the previous versions. And so if you just continue extrapolating that, cars are just, all of them are going to be driving by themselves. There isn't going to need for any need for a human to drive anything anymore.
Right.
And so then it's like, what is everybody going to be doing at this point? Right. Like what sort of activity is going to be taking up your time? And so it just, it seems to point to in the direction of the metaverse. And and I think you ask the right questions, like what are the requirements for a metaverse? And all these like centralized institutions like Meta and Roblox, all that, they call themselves metaverses, but they don't satisfy the minimum requirements, which is like ownership, your digital identity and ownership of content. Right. And so they will never do that just because there's no incentive to do that.
Yeah. But what do you guys think like actually imposing something as closely aligned to like, you know, the physical laws of existence, like and mimicking that in the digital sense, like that's kind of, DMT represents like the beginning foundations of, we could actually achieve something along that lines. Like, how does that actually contribute to, you think, to this, like, I don't know, what is it actually that you think needs to be unlocked for the metaverse phase? Is it like a a value perception thing.
Yeah.
Outside of just like, this is something that's entertaining for me to do. Like, cause right now the digital space is mostly that, like, how can we achieve more like vectors of, of entertainment and like self-fulfillment as opposed to like true value? Is that the thing that the metaverse lacks? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good question. I see both sides of the coin. I mean, there's definitely the ownership angle that, that Will just mentioned, and it could be that the metaverse on Bitcoin, just as we can trust in Bitcoin as a currency, we might be able to trust in other activities in this space in a way that we cannot trust them outside of the Bitcoin space. And it could become a place for ownership and for, you know, different aspects of truth. But there is also the entertainment angle as well, which is, you know, at least, you know, when I think about the difference of, you know, that maybe a new feature, like let's just use NatCats as an example, like this feature Vile, one of the rarest traits that could come into existence, that occurring is a very engaging event from my perspective, and something that's totally different than, you know, a big tech company just kind of like hard coding the release of some new thing into their code, right? Like in that case, they know what's going to happen and we as participants don't. But in the former case with NatCats, nobody knows. Like it's, and that's incredibly entertaining. It's like,
yeah,
I would compare it between like viewing a solar eclipse versus going.
I was just
going to
say that.
Nothing. What's that?
I was just going to say a solar eclipse.
Or like a meteor shower. And there's nothing wrong with the movies, right? Movies are great, but it's not the same thing at all.
Yeah.
So I see both sides of the coin, utility and entertainment for sure.
Yeah. I feel like with DMT, we keep talking about it in the context of like physics. And I feel like it's actually like a digital version of physics in the sense that the creation of like commodities on Earth, like gold and diamonds and oil and all that, is just an input of energy coming from gravity, which comes from mass. Mm-hmm. And you put a bunch of mass together like Earth, and then that energy, which that gravity, forces the creation of oil and diamonds and gold and all that stuff. And so this input of energy is yielding this low entropy like state, these commodities. And we're doing the same thing with Bitcoin. We're just injecting this energy, creating this blockchain, and we are creating this low entropy state that we are now beginning to like extract in the form of ordinals and DMT and all that stuff. And so whenever we're able to have like creators like leverage that and create something like NatCats, I feel like there's more substance in comparison to just like a random like art generation, like a random 10K mm-hmm. project. And with those, mm-hmm. they don't have any substance. It's just a function of marketing and like your Twitter engagement. And that's how you sell out these things. And then that's it. You're done. There's no more there's no more future generation. And then even if the creator of this 10K project decides to create a new, it dilutes the original piece of art, and then it leaves a sour taste in the original community. And in the case of DMT, like this stuff expands non-arbitrarily, and the people getting into this ecosystem, they know that it could expand, and that's actually a positive thing and not a negative thing. And so I think with DMT, it introduces this new vector of community creation that was not possible before.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, and that'll be something that takes time for people to adjust to, I think, right? Like the NatCats look like a PFP. They take a familiar form, but they are, in fact, something very different. And, you know, they are not differentiated based on aesthetics or marketing. They are differentiated based on these new DMT fundamentals.
Yeah.
So it's a new category.
So can you talk a little bit about, like, the design of NatCats? Like, what inspired that design? Like what was the thought process behind like choosing that specific design?
Yeah. No, I'm glad you asked about that. So I did have the goal that NatCats would be the first in this category to market, right? And I wanted it to for that reason really illustrates DMT in a very direct way. So the design, you know, I went through a number of iterations on the design leading up to the to sharing it, but the design that I landed on is a very direct expression of the data. So, you know, there with the exception of the negative space in the image, which would be the background and the negative space in the mouth of the cat, all components of the cat are non-arbitrary in their controls. And so, you know, they are SVG artworks, but if you were to imagine that they are pixel artworks, there is not a single pixel of the cat that is not controlled by non-arbitrary data. And then the flip side of that is there is nothing in the artwork. There's nothing in the artwork that is controlled by non-arbitrary data that is not the cat. Which sounds almost like the same thing, but it's slightly different, right? So it's it was pretty challenging to pull that off, right? To have everything controlled by non-arbitrary data and to have all components that are controlled be part of the image of the cat. So it's, you know, they appear very simple, but there's a lot of complexity, you know, to achieve that. It's the kind of the simple image on the other side of the complexity. Yeah. So yeah, that was my goal. And then, you know, the other constraints were, of course, that I wanted it to be a PFP, and I, you know, kind of worked within that format.
Why cats?
Why cats?
Why not cats?
Why not cats? Cats, it had to be cats. It had to be cats because of that, right? Because of NAT.
Okay.
And all I also thought, yeah, I also thought that cats were, you know, the right, you know, the right image to kind of, you know, I consider DMT to be kind of punk, right? Bitcoin is kind of punk. You know, crypto punks are punk as well, like, you know, outside of their name. Like, they are punks whether or not they are punk whether or not their name is punks, right? So it was important for me to kind of pick a character that could kind of take on the, you know, the aesthetic of, you know, that I felt the community you know, resonated with. And so they are cats, and they are cats that are, you know, they're a little edgy.
So how is, like, the life now of, like, you've achieved success as a founder in, like, this crypto world, right? This is your first shot and you hit a home run, which is pretty rare in the crypto space, I would say. And how is that experience, like, you know, navigating as far as, like, you've built a real community, right? There's people aligned with the ethos, if you put out there that, you know, you're building this tremendously powerful narrative. You have this really engaging art that people just resonate with. We're seeing fucking graffiti.
Yeah.
Like, towns are being graffitied with Natcats, and people are making shirts and pants, and it's happening, right? You've done something very, like, you've put out a real force into the universe, right? So how does that feel? Have you experienced anything as far as, like, I don't know, like, overwhelming sentiment because we've seen other founders attempt to create, you know, something of substance in the DMT space, and they're quickly overwhelmed by that level of attention, that level of new responsibility. It's like, as a founder, you know, there's a lot of things to consider now, right? So if you can't just kind of, like, walk us through, because it's only been about a month or so since, like, this really incepted, like, what has changed in your life personally?
It has felt like a much longer period of time than it actually has been. but yeah, the response has been incredible, and it's been humbling. I mean, I felt going in, like I said, that the idea was fairly profound, at least to me, but I did not know that the community would react in that way. So, you know, seeing the enthusiasm from the holders and kind of, you know, taking on this narrative themselves has been incredible. We have people, like you said, there are people putting up Natcats in Paris and in Thailand, and there's a Natcats tracksuit and Natcats in comic books now, right? Like, all of this stuff is really incredible. And you know, also just the expansion of new creators in the space has been incredible as well. Like seeing people kind of use some of the pattern definition frameworks from NatCats. You know, going in, that was something I kind of dreamed about, that other people might adopt that framework and do. So that's been great to see as well. But yeah, the response has been great. And honestly, like I was bullish on DMT going in, even before NatCats, but seeing kind of like meeting people, connecting with people in the community has made me even more bullish, because, you know, you've got people who are like the people I'm meeting in the DMT community. They are smart people. They have incredible conviction, like long-term thinkers, and they're very collaborative. The whole space, I think that is very collaborative as well. And honestly, that's a big credit to you guys for, you know, for approaching it in the way that you did with the release of DMT. It is open source, you know, very transparent in the building, and, you know, the emphasis on supporting creators, like all of that stuff. I mean, it's generous, but it's also smart, right? It is smart to empower creators in the community, and it builds this massive momentum. So, you know, credit to you guys there, but I just see that ever since, you know, NatCats has gone live, like all of these incredible people that I've met, it really makes me very bullish about the future for the space.
Yeah, it's crazy that you can come up with this art, and then all of a sudden you're like at speaking events, and like people want to hear your thoughts on things.
Yeah,
like it's a weird thing that crypto has enabled, with this tool of like community generation. It's just been interesting to see. It's kind of like this whole thing roll out, and like you're saying, it's like this has been about a month, and it feels like it's been like 2 years.
Seriously, yeah.
Easily,
all the good stuff that comes with, like, you know, being successful, there's always that other side of, like, you know, FUD and all that. And this is just an indicator of like success, right? There's never going to be just like this euphoric, like, just situation occur without like the bad side.
Yeah, like mass acceptance never happens.
Exactly. even something as great as Bitcoin, it received so much FUD in the early days, and it still receives FUD today.
Yeah.
And it's just because people don't understand. And the people that just push this FUD narrative, they just don't understand. That's a good indicator, though, because those people that don't understand are just going to miss the boat. And all of a sudden, you're going to see this whole ecosystem kind of flourish. And you're going to see new stuff that we haven't seen before, something like NatCats.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this has been one of those, like, weird things kind of occurring. And we're trying to do our best to support everybody. And but there's definitely some bad actors out there, and I don't know if it's our responsibility to like police everything, but I mean, we just try to do our best.
Yeah. Basically. No, it's a worthwhile topic to bring up. I mean, I think, you know, at the end of the day, that is the history of new ideas, right? Like, that is the history of art, the history of technology. Like, new ideas by definition are not accepted on day one, right? They are sometimes they ruffle feathers, or sometimes they're just ignored for some time. So I don't necessarily see pushback on DMT as a bad indicator at all. Like you said, it's a sign of progress.
So what would you say, you know, if you were creating DMT and outlining this framework, what is missing from your perspective as a creator, or what would you do differently? Like, have you put any thought into that? Like, how to improve this whole thing?
Protocol level we're talking about?
Just the whole
like
thing.
Tools,
like,
so that, yeah.
Like, if you were launching DMT, how would you have done it better or differently or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't think I would have changed anything leading up until this point, right? It's been very transparent and agile and impactful. I definitely see a lot of potential for the future. I think the distribution controls will be very important for obvious reasons. I think the ability to for creators to charge the minting price will be important as well. You know, the reality is these collections will expand non-arbitrarily, and there is, if you want to be involved in kind of leading your community as a creator, there are expenses that come with that. And so, you know, it's important to particularly if you don't know exactly how large the collection will grow to be, I think there's a lot of value in giving creators that income stream. So I see that as being important. I'm very excited for the UNAT block drops. I'm very excited for new fields. I'm also just excited to see these things kind of compound. I think it unlocks, like, some of these things together will unlock some really interesting possibilities as well. So wouldn't change anything from the past really at all, but tons of potential moving forward.
Okay, good.
Have you put any thought at all into, like, the, you know, the dual token genesis, you know, that is part of, like, all the non-arbitrary tokens? Well, not all of them. Selectively, if you decided to embed, you know, this the scriptable programmability to your deployment, right, which is what enables a unique non-arbitrary token to exist. But with that comes, like, you know, a fungible unit of account that goes to the people who have minted your collection. It doesn't necessarily have to apply in every case, but have you experimented at all with, like, thinking, like, how can these two coexisting assets be utilized in any way to kind of, like, enhance the value of the art itself, or to maybe build out a future ecosystem model that hasn't been, like, thought of before as far as, like, what art communities represent right now? It's like a good alignment mechanism to get people together, right? We all vibe on this image. That's therefore we're all part of this community. But now you have this new unit, this new vehicle that can be harnessed for some other end, some other purpose, right? Have you experimented with those ideas in general?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And it actually brings up another thought as well. But the, you know, what I observe about the current kind of duality of these hybrid tokens is just that the desired supply for a non-fungible asset will naturally be different in scale than the desired supply for the fungible, right? So there is likely to just be the one fungible token per instance of NACAT, for instance of every non-fungible NACAT, and you end up with a currency with a fairly low supply.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be an opportunity there to, you know, maybe add kind of a multiplier in that respect to kind of create, like, a more abundant fungible currency. Mm. So that instead of, you know, one per instance of every 3B, for NACATs, it is, you know, 10 or 100 or 1,000. So that would be very cool. And the other thing that comes to mind is just related to block drops in the context of Bitmap, but also UNATs. Like, that is a very new way of thinking about distributing an asset, because you are distributing it to the existing holder base of that asset. And I do expect a challenge for adoption there might just be that it would be hard for a creator to hold even a small portion of their project if they weren't already a large holder of the asset they were deploying to, mm-hmm. or already a holder of the asset they were deploying to. So I just think about, you know, Bitmap, and if someone as a creator wanted to launch something for Bitmap, but they did not own any Bitmaps, maybe they were priced out in 6 months' time.
Mm-hmm.
It might be hard for them to see the incentive that they could actually have an invested stake in their project. And I believe that that is important, because that is how creators are committed to being part of the community, right? So, that could be another opportunity for this kind of, I don't know if it's a multiplier here as well, but a way to kind of, like a second layer of supply definition where you might be able to, deploy some part to the asset holders and some part reserved by some other method.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's an interesting interplay, and it's something, I don't know, I guess, like, people automatically assume, because we usher out this non-arbitrariness to the Web3 ecosystem space, somehow, like, these two classes of assets are not supposed to play along together in any way, right? That was kind of, like, one of our original premises, is, like, we've been confronted with the dilemma. One of the dilemmas we've been confronted with, like, as being builders in the metaverse space, is just how non-sustainable most digital economic systems are up until this point, just because they're not really, they're just not complex enough. If you understand, like, what is it in nature that leads to, like, stability or, like, self-organization, like, you know, even in nature, like, they piggyback off of the fundamental laws of physics and stuff in a very chaotic system, which is the universe, right? Mm-hmm. These things somehow self-manifest into, like, sustainable things, like life. Life has sustainability to it, even though they grow, decay over time. Mm-hmm. They're still able to do this, right? So what comes with that is, like, all the different levels of complexity that enable these types of dynamic occurrences to manifest, right? So us introducing non-arbitrary tokens into, like, this complex system that is, like, digital economics, all it was intended to do was to just do that, right? Add another variable to that inevitable, very complicated, complex equation that needs to be, like, finally derived and understood and utilized and actually to achieve sustainability for the metaverse space, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you kind of outlining, like, an idea of, like, already thinking is, like, yeah, just for, like, future creators or contributors down the line, is like, you don't have to just pigeonhole yourself to just, you know, non-arbitrary versus arbitrary, right? These things are you're supposed to figure out ways how you can leverage both to create something of new value. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah. So on top of that, I guess, you have any thoughts, Will? I see you're thinking about something.
Yeah. I was just curious on your block drop statement. So I guess, what is your, like, use case for a block drop for Natcats? Like, what do you see as like an application of a block drop for Natcats?
Yeah, a few things. Maybe short term and long term we could talk about. But short term, I just see creators riffing on the Natcats concept, and, you know, we've seen so many interesting takes from other people kind of pop up, and it is very a very interesting concept that someone could create a NACADS derivative and drop it to all of the existing NACADS holders. And so, let's say they did that. I have my profile picture is NACAD 828888, and if someone was to create a derivative of NACADS and block drop it to all of the holders, I would get NACAD 828888 as a block drop. And I could, as you know, mint that block drop now, or I could mint it 100 years in the future. It would only be available to me as the holder of that CAD.
That's right.
So it's a very exciting concept that you could hold for the first time, hold an NFT asset, and then hold the right to receive those block drops as derivatives. And so, you know, in the past, these derivatives, sometimes, I don't always see it this way, but sometimes they're interpreted as, you know, kind of pulling liquidity from the initial collection. But there's a potential for that to be flipped in this case, where the UNAT block drop is actually an incentive for someone to hold a UNAT asset. So that's very exciting to me, but it's also exciting when thinking about utility down the road. Like, someone could potentially, I mean, this would probably require more infrastructure than we have now, or definitely would, but someone could create a derivative that is a 3D NACATS avatar, right? Like, maybe like that one we saw yesterday.
Yeah.
Shout out Pepe.
Running around in that town, which I... Yeah, I've watched that like a million times. It's very fun. But the you know, imagine that is a block drop. And then imagine there is a new NACATS supply event that takes place. There's potential for all of the NACATS holders to get together in a 3D environment with their, you know, with their 3D avatar, and then witness the spawning of the new NACAT avatars, which would be block dropped to the new holders once they became available to mint. And like, that's freaking cool. It's kind of like in the Discord when we welcome a new holder when they join the community, and it could be this whole other, you know, interactive 3D experience there. So like, that's just one example of, you know, down the road how there could be these new utilities integrated through the block drop method to UNATs as well. But I'm excited about the short term and the long term possibilities on that one.
Yeah, if I may, let me add another wrinkle to this. So there's been an update to the Ord wallet that has enabled two parents creating a child. So instead of one parent creating a child inscription, you have two parents creating a child inscription. Mm. So now you might be able to combine NatCats, two different NatCats, to form some sort of derivative child in combination wow. with yeah. the two yeah. attributes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and yeah. so this could be like a new program potentially that points to an updated or a separate script that takes into account the attributes of the parents and then generates some sort of new derivative.
Correct. Yeah.
I think, I mean, that's freaking cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And it even added even further. Somehow the fungible token utility can.
Yeah,
apply to some sort of
supply
like
supply the actual the generation of these derivatives.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. We're cooking now.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Basically. No. So this is like the concept that has existed before. This is basically breeding.
Yeah.
But as much of an on-chain process and a non-arbitrary like manifestation of like, you know, propagating future generations, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this increases the tradability of these NatCats because maybe you want like a specific set of attributes and you want to like, you know, acquire them, right? So, I mean,
it's possible.
I feel like this is like a good game theory sort of like test here.
Yeah. And it's an interesting way of expanding again, like the ecosystem is, because that to me is interesting, the most interesting part. And I think something that needs to be unlocked in general. Like, how do you create, like, PFPs are great and all, but these communities, you know, 3,000 to 4,000 holders maximum usually. How much of a global impact you can have outside of like the brand or the IP that you could generate out of that and kind of propagate indefinitely, but creating some sort of sustainable mechanism to expand the ecosystem reach where like without ruffling like the each tranche or each layer of expandability, right? Because obviously you got to maintain certain things like perceptions of scarcity and stuff, not oversupply, over dilute populations and such. But if you could break this down into like different layerings, then you're introducing these new these new tranches of value perception, right? So you're kind of not like diluting what's been propagated like further up the route. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like with this block drop angle, you're adding this ability to have an open creation platform.
Pretty much, yeah.
That anybody can launch a block drop on NatCats, and then you let the market decide what is valuable and what isn't, right? And so now you enable anyone to participate within the NatCats community as a form of a block drop, and maybe it gets traction and maybe it doesn't.
Correct.
Right. And I feel like that's a very powerful thing because it's open for anyone to create rather than just like relying on a creator.
Yeah, totally agree. And what is distinct about it is I really think that it is incentivizing holding of the original asset at the same time as expanding the community. And so you get, it's like the first time you get both of those things at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah, as opposed to just like again, like arbitrarily introducing like population expansion to the root holder supply, right? You are actually disrupting the dynamics of that.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like an unexpected occurrence, right? It's like, you know, that does have an impact, and it does distort value perception, whatever it is, ecosystem, sustainability down the line. So yeah, if you have these like mechanisms already put in place at its like initial point. Which is what DMT and non-arbitrary tokens do. Like, you know, the community, the ecosystem is aware. They're expecting these like growth cycles to occur.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And like they're fully on board with it. And in most cases, they're probably going to contribute to like the actual proliferation of it because it is going to result in a, you know, we're talking potentially millions of people part of the NatCats ecosystem right down the line. Yeah. Not millions of people holding the original, you know, supply of the Genesis cats, but nonetheless, they're part of the ecosystem as a whole, right? That's very powerful.
I'm really excited to get, you know, additional fields supported because there's like this embedded nature that goes along with the bits field that any time that a pattern occurs within the bits field, it occurs 2016 times, right? Mm-hmm. Because it is tied to the difficulty adjustment. But this the nature of the bits field, there's other like fields within Bitcoin that have different like properties, different nature of itself.
Yeah.
Like the nonces is the best example of like a random number generator. And if you were to do an art based off this random number generator, then you couldn't really predict when that pattern would occur again. It could literally occur in the next block versus the next 2016 blocks.
Yeah, totally.
And I feel like this, the nature of these fields is something that creators can be creative with. And and I don't think it's obvious yet that this is possible. Not until there's more fields supported.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm very excited about the new fields because, well, I've been playing around with them as well myself and can tell that there are completely new vectors of creation that can come from these other dynamics.
Yeah.
I enjoy the bits field because it has the potential to be very eventful, right? Like an event will start and you can witness it occurring with the community for a couple of weeks, and that's very cool. But totally different if you get a trickle of one asset at a time, you know, very sparsed out.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, very interesting stuff.
So what do you say is next for you? Are you going to continue creating stuff? Are you going to wait for new functionalities to do the next things? Like what's your next move as far as just being in the crypto space altogether?
Yeah, well, I will be working on DMT 100% moving forward. And priority number one for me is the NatCats community. And I have, of course, no plans to, you know, the artwork is autonomous and running on the blockchain at this stage. So my role with the NatCats community is really around just supporting the community and educating people and these sorts of things. So that's priority number one, but I absolutely will continue to build. I will like to build things that continue to push the boundaries of what's possible in the DMT space as well. So that will be my criteria as I evaluate which projects I take on. I will definitely leverage, you know, some of the things we've been talking about today and won't drop any specific hints yet, but you guys, you know, we can maybe talk on them after the call, but there will be more from me for sure.
Yeah, we're definitely excited to see your continue down this trajectory because like we've already outlined, you know, you're truly one of the unicorn developers, creators in this space because, yeah, this DMT, it's not easy. You deserve it. Yeah. You deserve the fluff.
Yeah, I got to say, the way that you respond to like any message out there is different than what we were expecting, like just what we commonly see just in Twitter.
Yeah.
And you're eloquent, you're sharp.
Composed.
Like all this is like,
you have all the right
it's
ingredients.
A breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
When it comes to like,
I appreciate it, guys.
This bro energy.
For real. So yeah, it would be a shame if you just, you know, kind of like called it quits here. It's like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It'd be like, yeah. So it's important to have people who have the right qualities and attributes as a founder to just continue to build.
There's this like, I don't know, the creators right now that use like this arbitrary method to create stuff. There's sort of like, they take a hit when they create more stuff. Yes, right.
Yeah.
That has become a problem in the arbitrary space.
Correct.
But in the DMT space and the non-arbitrary space, I think when you create more stuff, it's just like a different thing, right? It's like it could be in a different field. It's like something different that your original artwork was not, and so they're not the same. You're not diluting anything. In other words. Right.
Do you have that same feeling? Because there's fundamentals there, right? It's like there's differentiation other than aesthetics and other than marketing, differentiation in the fundamentals. So I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. I feel like that's a new thing that wasn't possible before. Like if you're a creator and you made stuff and then you made another thing, it's like, hey, you know, you forgot about, you know, the old stuff that you made. It's like, why aren't you working on that? You know, it's like, but it's not the same for DMT. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
No one You won't be getting rid of me anytime soon. That's
yeah,
for sure.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. So like, when it comes to like the metaverse and Bitmap, I feel like there's a huge opportunity for DMT and Bitmap and like NatCats all to coexist. And there's going to be a lot of opportunity for the DMT space to like really leverage the whole virtual nature that Bitmap is. And I'm more excited to kind of start playing in that space just because I feel like it's a huge untapped opportunity. And so once we're able to get the block drops going and we have like this manifestation of digital commodities, like intuitively generated from the virtual ground that is your Bitmap, I feel like there's going to be kind of like a new angle for artists to be more creative with that. So that's sort of along the lines of what we're thinking and kind of where we're going. Obviously, through Track, we're indexing the rest of the fields. We have obviously block drops on the way, and just the whole support of like UNATs. And when it comes to like the scripts, do you see like other ways, like other applications of scripts that can be done? Like, is it just art, or can you think of any other use cases that you can think of as along the lines with like scripts and putting it all on chain?
Gosh, absolutely. I mean, we can go in a few directions with that one, but you know, I do think that the release of these unreleased traits could easily be a concept that you could apply outside of an art context, right? This could be in an app or in a game, right? Like there are you know, apps that release new features, you know, games that release new features. Like this is definitely not a concept limited to art. Gosh, I mean, honestly, my head goes all over the place on that one. I think about it all the time. But
yeah, I mean, when it comes to like scripts, yeah. I mean, you could pretty much do anything that we've seen on the internet, on websites, like it can be done through this like script mechanism. And then you can apply like these rare attributes that may not have occurred on Bitcoin, but could occur in the future. I mean, that could be like a rare sword for your game, right? It could be rare, these rare assets. They don't even have to be like attributes, but they're just like separate assets. Like these patterns are assets in your game. And the different pattern recognitions are like different components of your game. And then they non-arbitrarily increase in supply. And therefore you have like a game that is autonomous, right? And it's a game that you always play. People have been playing Counter-Strike for like 25 years already.
Yeah.
Like, and this is largely the same game. It hasn't changed really.
Yeah.
Right. So, I think this new vector of asset generation is something, you know, creators are going to be taking advantage of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And storytelling, right? Like that's a component of a game, right? And, that's a component of NatCats as well, right? Like, you know, when I set out to build NatCats, I wanted to build art, but also experiences, right? Yeah. And I think that there is a story, you know, that comes from, you know, from the project already. So yeah, I mean, you could go anywhere, I think, with this tech.
Yeah. I'm happy to see that. This really adds like a new tool for creators to really think through how to create new stuff, and happy to have you like a part of this, like this whole thing, like this whole movement thing.
Yeah.
Because anything that's new, it's going to get a lot of like pushback, and the people that sort of like ignore that pushback and continue to move forward and move the ball forward is not very common, right?
I think it's like being understated just how important, you know, the perception of like blockchain in general and like the purpose of what it is, why we're doing all this, aggregating all this data and, you know, spending all these resources. As you know, obviously the thesis of doing that to have self sovereignty over our own monetary system is a big one, right? But kind of like flipping that narrative or like expanding it to now, like, you know, utilizing this as like a force of genesis is like a big fucking deal.
Yeah, right? I totally agree.
And NatCats is contributing to that. Everybody who's building in this DMT ecosystem contributes to that. because like you're saying, it is that something new that people can now kind of like contribute to and experiment with. But it adds just so much more value, I think, to the space. And at a critical time where it feels like we're losing sight of where that value like is actually going to generate from, right? Like,
yeah,
we talk about this perpetually. It's like it seems like as the time goes on, blockchain utility just seems to be like a forgotten like ambition, right? It's actually like a detriment to a lot of people involved in this space. Like, they literally, I'll say it out loud, like, fuck utility. Keep that shit away from me. I don't want a purpose. I don't want use.
Yeah.
I just wanted you to deliver me, like, you know, the thing that I could shout the loudest and attract the most attention, which is fine. But yeah, something needs to happen to actually kind of like reinvigorate that ethos of like, we're actually going to do something substantial here as a collective, as an industry, as a tech sector, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. So leveraging blockchain, Bitcoin specifically, again, as a Genesis machine, it is literally like programming godlikeness, you know, as closely aligned to the parameters of physics as we can.
Yeah, right?
How that gets utilized is like the big experiment, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, this physics angle plays a big role here, because anytime anybody creates anything, it is just like out of thin air. And a lot of the time the community really jumps on that, because it's easy to paint blue skies off of like this, just like a generic picture project, than it is that this picture project represents some sort of utility in some ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now, as soon as you add utility, there's sort of like this like glass ceiling of value. Mm. And when there's no utility, like there is no ceiling. It's infinite value.
Yeah.
Right. And right now, a lot of the activity in crypto is about a casino. I mean, it's the casino meme has become a meme now.
Yeah.
And we got to take it back to like fundamentals again, because once this mania is over, the whole like meme mania is over, then it's like, what do we have left? It's like the fundamentals.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird.
Yeah. And these are, you know, DMT is possible because of blockchain, right? It is the hardest data that we've ever seen, and
music, dude.
You cannot build these physics without that hard data, right? So this is a blockchain native, Bitcoin native innovation. It can't be any other way.
Yes. All right, we'll end it there, Evie. Thank you so much for your time, man. It's been awesome just kind of breaking down like your thoughts on all of DMT and how you came up with NatCats and participating in this whole ecosystem. I guess, do you have any final thoughts on like, you know, what's happening next? I think you're going to Taiwan here in a couple of months. You want to, I guess, talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. We'll be seeing you guys down there as well for the Sora Summit in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of leaders in the ordinal space there. Really excited about that one. Closing thoughts. I mean, it's going to be an interesting few months coming up. I think so much will continue to happen quickly in DMT. So I'm very excited for the ride. But closing thoughts would just be to, thank everyone from the community for their support, and, you know, thank you guys again for, you know, approaching DMT in the way that you did, making it open source and very collaborative as a space. I can't underscore just how important I think that is. So, so excited to keep working with you both, and maybe we can do this again sometime.
Oh yeah, man. All right, Evie, thank you so much for your time, and everyone, thank you so much for watching. All the links will be in the description to tag Evie and, you know, give them your thoughts on hopefully push them to see like what's next with DMT. And but again, thank you so much for watching the podcast, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the BlockRunner podcast. Make sure you visit the website at theblockrunner.com and sign up to stay up to date on the latest crypto. Reach out to us on Twitter at theblockrunner.